is Road to the Draft with Cal Toomey and Nat Edwards.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Road to the Draft. Nat Edwards and Cal Tombstone Toomey with you on this delightful Wednesday afternoon
delightful.
When we're recording. Yes, it is delightful. Well, it's actually terrible outside, but I'm just going to say delightful for the sake of it. How are you?
Any day above ground's a good day.
That's true. And any day where we get a free sausage roll and baked goods in the morning is a good day.
Yeah, thanks for that. I appreciated your help on that one. I was on the later shift today and was going to miss out on the sausage roll. So, geez, it was a good sausage roll too.
So good. We had a bake-off at AFL House.
Did you contribute?
No, I don't really bake. I like to eat sweets, but I don't bake them.
Yeah.
How about you?
I can't cook dinner, let alone a cake. No, so I didn't contribute.
Oh, but
my presence was a contribution.
Well, that's true, and you voted. So
I did vote, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I like the double cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. I voted for the brownies, which were made by Anne from our social department.
Oh, yeah, they were very good too.
They were delicious.
Excellent.
All right, let's talk about
terrific.
Under 18s because
terrific.
That is exactly what this podcast is all about. And
allegedly.
We saw a very good game of footy on Sunday at the MCG.
Yeah.
Vic Metro up against Vic Country. Metro undefeated, 13-6-84, defeating Vic Country 8-10-58. It was a cracking game, though, and what an experience for the boys to play at the G.
At the G, in pretty good conditions. It was something of a game that became Vic Metro v Sam Walsh in many ways. I mean, Metro won by 28 points, but it was Sam Walsh that was best on ground. He had 29 touches, kicked a goal for Vic Country, the Vic Country captain, 5 clearances, 6 inside 50s. So he was the most dominant player on the ground, the most consistent player on the ground, even though he was in the losing team and getting a little bit of attention throughout the contest. So
he had that moment where he like busts through this pack and just kicked this awesome goal.
He did. And he's not a big kid at the minute. Like
no.
You said that on the weekend, he's still pretty thin in terms of his legs and his body shape. So that'll come in time. But yeah, so far so good for him across the championships. He's going to be in the All-Australian team, I would have thought, when it's announced next week. For Vic Metro, there was plenty of good contributors though. Mm. Tom McKenzie moved to half back and played that role really well as his best game for a little while. He hasn't had the most outstanding season, but some recruiters have him in the top 20-something. That's a little bit high for him. So he's a little bit of a divisive one amongst them, but he had 23 touches, 12 marks and 6 rebound 50s, so provided a good run out of there. Bailey Smith, one of our favourites on the show, kicked 3 goals from 20 touches. He's playing really sore at the moment. Really, really sore. So he was lucky.
Couldn't tell.
No. And he was lucky to play in that game. So he was pretty close to not playing that one. So he's shown that courage and it certainly hasn't changed the way he plays. Riley West had 20 touches, continues what's been a great chance for him. He's averaging 25 across the carnival. Joe Ayrton Delaney, good run, 20 touches. This is all for Vic Metro. James Rowbottom, who I've watched a couple of times this year live and just has that power and explosiveness in the midfield. He had 20 touches. Noah Answorth's a good story as well now.
Mm.
He had 21 disposals, kicked 2 goals. Really good goal from about 50 as well. He obviously missed out on last year's draft. He's playing as an overager this year, but this is where the rule is a good rule because he missed last year after breaking his back in one of the opening rounds off the TAC Cup season.
Yep.
He's playing on Jaden Stevenson at the time. Marking contest happened. I was at the game and it seemed so innocuous and then I had to be stretched off with a broken back. So
horrible.
Missed the rest of this season, didn't get drafted. So he's come back now and showing what he's capable of. And Curtis Taylor kicked 3 goals through across the forward line and Curtis will be on the show later today.
He will be indeed. We'll speak to him in a short time. Friday, looking ahead now.
Well, the Vic Country guys also, it wasn't just Sam Walsh.
Okay, do you want to talk about some of the other guys?
I actually
want to talk about Oscar Brownless's goal.
Yes.
We played that a lot and then compared it to Billy's goal.
On the G.
God,
you're here
funny.
On Geelong. Oscar kicked a great he kicked a great goal from the boundary line there. He had 14 touches. He's done enough, I think, to show that he'll be at the Cats at the end of this season. Just a matter of where the bid comes for him. He's a running carry outside midfielder, so he hasn't had real dominance across the carnival yet, but he uses the ball well enough. Was obviously pretty sharp around goal on the weekend. Xavier Dersma's a pretty nice player. For some, would be edging a top 25 pick. Some maybe a little bit after that, but he's certainly going to get drafted. 19 touches, 5 tackles, can be used in a number of different spots. Ned McHenry had 17 touches, 10 tackles as well, which was the most of the game.
I really liked his game.
Yeah, it was good.
He caught my eye.
He kicked 2 goals and a few behinds as well, so probably wasted a chance to be the clear best on ground. If he'd finished with 4 or 5 goals for a small forward, and I guess that's what he's got to show across the carnival as well and the remainder of the year, whether he can play that small forward role.
Yeah.
Because he's a smaller type. We've had him on the show. He's very lively and very likeable, so it was good to see him play well. But because of his size, he's probably not going to be one of those big inside midfielders clearly at the next level. So it has to show that he has another string to his bow. And because he can tackle, he can do that. So he was good. Kyle Reid, a defender as well for Vic Country, put in a good performance. So, yeah, there was plenty of guys to come out of. It was a good contest. Having watched the replay as well, it's certainly a lot of, you learn a lot about a couple of guys who were playing out there. Collier Dawkins was able to push forward. Riley Collier Dawkins for Metro, kicked a goal. He's going to be someone who I think could sort of shorten as the season goes on because he's a big midfielder and has got a lot of talent as well. So, yeah, it was a good game and a couple of rounds to go.
So Vic Metro have the bye this weekend, but on Friday at GMHBA Stadium down in G-Town, we've got the Allies up against South Australia at 2:10, then Vic Country up against Western Australia to follow at 4:40 p.m. Are you heading down the
highway? I will be there. So that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, who are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, the Allies, for a start, on the big stage. So they've had a pretty promising carnival so far. They should have probably, they should be unbeaten, really. They probably should have beaten Vic Metro a couple of weeks ago. I know other people will disagree with that, but I thought they had the better of that one, particularly late in terms of that contest. But obviously the ball swung and Max King kicked that goal to get them over the line. But they've beaten Vic Country before that, and then they've had a little bit of break between games. So looking forward to seeing how they go. Taran Thomas, seeing how he goes in a couple of big games. And obviously the South Australian guys who come over here with the hopes of winning the carnival. So they're unbeaten too. So, yeah, a couple of big games on Friday.
And then, so obviously, speaking of South Australia, the week after, then you've got the Allies up against WA here at Etihad Stadium. That's on Wednesday. And then Vic Metro up against South Australia, which essentially is grand final.
Well, could be. South Australia beat the Allies on Friday, then both teams could go into that unbeaten. So, and again, I guess if South Australia lose, they can obviously go into that game and then beat Vic Metro and get them on percentage and sort of count back as well. So, yeah, it's an exciting finish to the carnival. It's almost as if the guys who set at the fixture knew that Vic Metro and South Australia might be the best teams in it.
Geniuses.
Yes.
Well, it will be sad when the carnival's over. I've quite enjoyed seeing some of the highlights.
It's always a good time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
The recruiters look back on this period of the season and see how the players went, and certainly the players measure themselves against the best of their own age group. So it has been good. I'm hoping over the next couple of rounds that we see some more guys outside the nominal early 12 or best dozen sort of lift themselves into the top 20 bracket, because that's probably been something that's lacking across the carnival so far.
All right, Cal, it's now time to chat to one of the up-and-coming stars of the draft, and we're going to speak to Curtis Taylor now from Vic Metro and the Calder Cannons. And Curtis, you played on the weekend, 3 goals, 13 touches, not bad.
Yeah, it was really good. To be out there on the MCG with the boys and get that win, it's pretty awesome. So, yeah, it's something that we'll cherish and we're pretty happy with.
What's it like walking out onto the G, Curtis?
Oh, look, like I said, I remember saying to one of the boys, like, I don't think you'd ever get sick of that feeling walking out onto the MCG, and it's just, you'd look around, take it all in, and yeah, it's something that's pretty special.
How have you seen the championship so far? Because it was Vic Metro's third win from 3 games, obviously unbeaten, and with a big game to come against South Australia next week. But how have you viewed it so far?
Yeah, I felt like we're building each week as a team, so we're getting better and better. And I think our game against the country was our best game, but obviously, like, I probably didn't get to play that full game against WA, which was disappointing, but it was good to get a good solid hit out against Allies and then again on the weekend against Big Country.
How do you think your own form is going, and do you feel like you're sort of finding your feet and really settling in?
Yeah, I feel like on the weekend it was probably the first time that we kind of just got to get some good footy together, kicked a couple of goals, and yeah, it was just starting to enjoy it and felt a bit better with my knee not being injured. So yeah, it's good.
Were you in any doubt to play? Because as you say, the knee knock and little injury the last couple of weeks has limited what you've been able to do and show. Were you? I'm sure you're hell-bent to get out there against Vic Country, but was there any chance you did miss that one?
Yeah, there was a chance. Obviously, it was a pretty big knock against WA, and then I copped another one again against Allies. So there was some doubt over it, but I did everything I could, going to the beach a couple of times during that week and just doing all the recovery I can, because I didn't want to miss that game at all. So,
is it feeling all good now?
Yeah, 100% now. Like, I don't have any worries with it, which is good.
And lucky too, you've got the bye anyway this week before taking on South Australia. What are you guys doing for the bye week? Do you just totally rest up and turn off from footy, or do you get together as a group?
Yeah, we kind of just enjoy the week and have the rest. We're taking it as an advantage. Obviously, they have to back up for next Wednesday as well. But no, we'll get together obviously tonight and a training and Thursday, and then I think probably a few boys might head down and watch the other games. But really, yeah, just rest up and enjoy the time off.
I was going to ask, was that part of the plan to go down on Friday to Geelong and check out South Australia firsthand?
Yeah, it's something I'd look at definitely doing. Obviously, I have the option to drive down there and go have a look. So yeah, it's something that I probably will do.
You love G-Town, don't you, Cal?
Oh, yeah. It's great. Lammies.
Lammies. Stay away from Lammies, Curtis. Do not even go there. It is a big game, though, against South Australia. Potentially, a grand final could decide the champs. How are you feeling about that game coming up?
Yeah, it's good luck that obviously it could be that grand final. So it's pretty exciting. It builds up to be even better. If it was that grand final, we do both go in 3-0. So if it... I don't know, we just go out there, do our stuff that we have in the first three games, and I think it would be a good chance.
I want to ask you about some of your teammates, Curtis, because obviously everyone's interested in yourself, but also the wider draft pool. You're very close with Riley West. How have you assessed his carnival? Because he's been really consistent and a star for Vic Metro.
Yeah, well, it's nothing. It hasn't surprised me at all. I thought for sure he was always going to come out and dominate. It's just the type of player he is. I've seen him dominate and do the things that he does now since he was 12. So, yeah, it hasn't really surprised me at all, and I think he's been tracking really well and putting himself in a good position.
Who else has impressed you in your team?
Noah Answorth, an overager, really impressed the way he's been going about it the last couple of weeks, and he's got some pretty good talent. So yeah, I've been impressed with him.
You played mainly for the Calder Cannons this season as a forward, and that's where we saw you for Vic Metro on the weekend as well. Is that where you like to play? I mean, I've watched a couple of your games as well, where you have swung through the midfield and made an impact there. So what's the sort of balance that you'd like to have in your game going forward?
Oh, I'd like to obviously, like, I do love forward. I like to kick goals, but obviously going through the midfield is something I can enjoy as well, having that option to go forward or midfield. But yeah, that doesn't really worry me. Wherever I'm best for the team, I'll play there.
If you do want to spend a bit more time in the midfield, do you think maybe your tank or endurance is something you might need to work on a little bit, or are you happy with where it's at sort of at the moment?
Oh, obviously, like, I feel there's no roof on anyone's tank or endurance. You can always get fitter and fitter, but yeah, like, I think it's something that to work on as well, and just strength, body size around the contest is something that I was looking at too. So yeah, there's a couple of factors that are there.
I know we've spoken about this previously, Curtis, with your friendship with Cam Rayner, and obviously you played with him at Pegs last season at school level. And what's it been like to watch him graduate from that level of footy to then be playing, you know, every week for the Lions? And have you watched him closely? How much have you spoken to him about that transition?
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome to be able to have, like, a best mate watch him go through it all, and then hopefully me be able to go through it all this year. It's good to be able to see how he dealt with it, and really we pretty much chat every day, and he's helps me through it. And yeah, I've watched him pretty closely. I've been up to Brisbane a couple of times to see him and try to get and watch all of his games. So yeah.
What was it like last year at school, you know, when he's on AFL.com and he's billed as the next Dusty and all these sorts of things, and every day there's a new story about him potentially going number one, and then you're in class with him. Does he cop much for that? Do you give it to him for that? What's it like?
A couple of times, like, closer mates give it to him, but he's really humble about it. Like, he wasn't, wasn't arrogant about it at all, and just kind of just took it in his stride, and just, he always just said he wanted to do his footy to do the talking, and I'm pretty sure it did that. So yeah, it never really worried him, and it was pretty good to see how humble it was and how, like, he did go about it.
Now, I enjoy watching Cam strut his stuff on the footy field. What do you think of his current haircut, though?
he's always been one to have the wacky haircuts. He had the real long hair, like, probably 3-4 years ago, and then he's gone from he goes to the shave head, and then he goes to the shave side. So he loves changing up the haircut. He just does enjoy a different hairstyle.
Have you seen him with the curly hair, the long curly hair? No,
I haven't. I need to see a photo of this, I think.
Yeah,
you definitely do.
Is it on Insta?
It would be. You'd find it somewhere.
We'll have to stalk him down. Now, as I said, you finished year 12 with him last year in terms of your schooling as well. What's keeping you busy apart from footy this season?
Yeah, obviously I'm just working real estate at the minute, which is 3-4 days a week, which I'm enjoying, and obviously take my mind off it, and it's pretty flexible, the hours and things like that. So I do have a couple of days off or a day off each week, which works out well.
Oh, Cal, you're looking to sell an apartment or anything that Curtis might be able to help
No cut for you, mate.
have you met with any clubs, or have any clubs sought you out at this stage of the year? Can you sort of take us through that process?
Yeah, I've had, don't know how many, but I've had a few come home now and chat and meet the family, and then obviously the ones with the academy interviews. But the first couple, obviously, you're pretty nervous and you don't know what to expect. But as soon as you have that first one, they kind of ask the same questions, and you just realise they just want to know about you, get to know more and more.
Do you have a special spread that you put on when they come over to the house?
My mum likes to put, like, just get some cheese and dip in, like, opposite water and offer a cup of tea or something like that. But not too.
Cheese would win me over.
Cheese wins you over.
Oh, God,
what type of cheese, Nat?
Oh, double brie.
Yeah, yeah. Well played. Hey, before we let you go, Curtis, just wanted to get you to confirm a link to Australia's greatest sportsman, Nat. We just found out off air that Curtis has a link to Shane Warne. Can you talk us through it, Curtis? Because you've just gone way up my fandom draft board.
You're now number one.
So Jackson is my cousin. They're all Jackson, Brooke and Summer are all my cousins. So my mum's sister, Simone, was obviously married to Shane, who I still see a bit of when I go seeing Jackson, because I do like to keep pretty tight with him. I think being close with your cousins is something good. So I still see him a fair bit and around Shane and them. So, yeah, that's that connection there.
Well, next time you do catch up, I'm sure Cal might just rock up out of the blue.
happy to do the next interview at Warnie's place.
No
drums, not out of the way for me at all.
You are obsessed with Shane Warne.
I do
you
like
need
Shane
to, you need help.
No, he's the best. He's the best.
Nah, he's good.
Hey, Curtis, thanks for joining us on the show, mate. Really appreciate it. We look forward to seeing how you go next week against South Australia, and it's been a joy watching you play so far this year. So good luck for that game and for the rest of the season.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Curtis Taylor joining us there on Road to the Draft. Why do you love Warnie so much?
He's the best. He's just.
But why?
He brought cricket into the backyards of every home in Australia. He was just the most exciting cricketer. Cricket hasn't been the same since he retired. I loved him. I still love him. I still watch his highlights.
What about his dating career?
Well, yeah, I mean, he took 708 wickets, so it's probably he's been a star in that game as well. Look, he's just, I don't know, there's something about him. He's just, nothing sticks to him. He just lives the best life. I think he has the best life of anyone
nowadays. I feel sorry for Curtis, because I honestly think you're going to be knocking on his door and like, oh, can we go to
Brighton.
Uncle Shane's?
He actually used to live in the same street as one of my friends. We used to drive past and occasionally see him putting out the bins and stuff like that. But
stalker?
No,
much?
Just by chance. And obviously, he's just a Victorian identity and worldwide identity, really.
All right, let's
Liz Hurley.
Yeah, well, Lizzie, she was a good catch.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to Twitter questions now. And thanks to everyone who took some time out to send
Who's
us
your
a
hero?
Tweet.
Sporting hero.
Sporting hero. Ooh. That's a tough one.
Why?
Because I've got too many to pick from.
No, we'll go away from footy. Let's go away from footy.
Oh, I'd probably have to pick a tennis player. Murat Safin.
Murat Safin? What? What?
Love Murat Safin.
That's bizarre.
Love
that is bizarre.
He had his entourage playing
Murat
tennis.
Murat Safin?
Yeah, and when
he was so boring.
No, he wasn't. Did you see him when he got angry and then he'd throw some rackets and break some things?
Go for the...
It's kind of hot. Anyway.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Enough. Let's get back to
Have you got a crush on Murat Safin?
Yes, I did.
Did or do? What's
yes,
he up
I
to
did.
These days? These days?
Oh, who knows? Just hanging out with his entourage still.
Probably.
All right, let's move on. Dylan wants to know, I'm a little unsure, Cal, how the father-son system works. Would you be able to help me out? If the Bulldogs want to get Riley West and say Gold Coast pick him up at pick 3, what happens after that with our pick 5? And that's a good question from Dylan.
Yeah, we'll go through it. So this won't happen. Gold Coast won't bid on Riley West at pick 3,
but
so don't stress. But if it did happen that way, Gold Coast could put up their hand and say, we bid on Riley West at pick 3. Then the Gold Coast would have the option to use their next pick, which is at the moment pick 5, to move up the order and match that selection. So, pick 4, sorry. So the Bulldogs pick 4 five can push up the order and match that selection. So it's not that hard to understand, really. Now, but what is most likely with Riley West is that a bid comes somewhere in the teens.
Yep.
The interesting thing with where the Dogs sit at the moment, and obviously they have a trade period to get through before the draft, so they might acquire a selection or two, and they've got some free agents who might go, so they might get some compensation there as well. But at the moment, they don't have a second-round pick, so the next pick after pick five is currently pick 41. So it would mean that they might go into a points deficit. Let's say this is their hand of draft picks that they go to the draft with. If a bid comes for Riley West at pick 18 and they decide to match it, they then go into a points deficit for the first round next year, which might push back their first round lot for selection next year. However, it won't change where their first picks lies because a bid will not come before their first selection for Riley West. He's going very well, though.
Hope that clears that up, Dylan.
I hope it does.
Darcy wants to know, you should... Well, it's actually a statement.
It's a directive.
Cal, you should write an article now on Raoul, Anderson... and Williams for next year's draft. Metro outfit will be star-studded.
He's my editor.
There you go. Thanks, Darcy.
Well, it looks like a really good team. And so far, we've only seen glimpses of these guys at national level. They've only brought him in for a game here and there. Nara Anderson, his game, had 21 touches and 4 goals against WA. Dylan Williams kicked 4 goals against the Allies in his performance. And Matty Rail had 17 touches. He's a hard out at midfielder. So, yeah, it does look like a really exciting Metro outfit for next year. We're having this discussion with... Someone earlier in the week about whether there'll be a bottom major in this year's All-Australian side. Last year, the only one was Isaac Rankin. This year, I'm not sure that anyone's pushed it and shown enough so far to suggest they'll be in it. So,
Okay. Obviously,
in the past, we've seen plenty of those guys go through the Australian team as bottom majors. Jack Billings was a bottom major who was in the All-Australian team, these sort of things. So that's happened well and truly over the years. But at the moment, I'm not sure any of these guys, given they've only come in for a game here or there, probably don't have enough runs on the board. You can't be picked on one game.
All right. Darcy, I'll make sure he gets on it. Elliot wants to know, will key position players continue to be picked up on potential, picked on potential high in the draft, or teams go for surefire bets?
Well, there's no such thing as a surefire bet. There isn't.
You are right.
Black caviar, maybe.
All those things.
Winks.
You can't...
There's no winks in the draft.
No.
But yeah, I get the question, though, because obviously the key forwards off the past few years have struggled to sort of transition into the next level. We've seen that with Paddy McCartan, Tom Boyd, Josh Shackey, these type of guys who haven't been able to automatically step up to sort of the expectations that have been placed on them. But there's no suggestion that a midfielder is going to be necessarily able to do that as well. In saying that, Sam Walsh does look like the most solid bet in this year's draft. So if you're Carlton, do you just say, well, we know if we pick Sam Walsh, he's going to be at the club for 12 years. He's a Victorian. He's not going to leave. He's never going to have that lure to go home. He lives in Ocean Grove, so I don't, unless Geelong make a big play for him, it's going to be okay. So do you go that one who's a little bit safer, or do you go with Jack Lukosius, who, you know, in 4 years' time, if they're still pretty ordinary on the bottom of the ladder, we're going to have this discussion like we get with Paddy Cripps every 2 years and Jesse Hogan and these type of guys. Are they going to go home? Are they going to go back to WASA? So that's sort of the thing that I'd be thinking about more than the fact that one's a key position player, one's a midfielder.
Jack wants to know, and no, it's not our producer, Jack. Could you see...
No, it's not, because look at Jack, our producer, right at the minute. Hasn't got his headphones in. He couldn't be less interested. He's checked out.
Jack is checked out because he's about to jet off on a 5-week sojourn overseas.
Yep, off to America.
And then Europe? No, just America.
Just America.
In my mind, he was off to Europe. Everyone's in Europe right now, but he's off to the States.
Look at him.
He's just deserted us.
He's just...
in a time of
just
need.
Just picking his aisle seat.
Yeah. So Jack wants to know, could you see Brisbane taking Lukosius at all, considering they already have McStay, Ballenden and Hipwood? I think mids are a bigger need.
And the mids at the top, obviously, at the moment are Walsh and Bailey Smith. I think they're the leading two midfielders.
One who barracks for the Lions.
Yes, correct, in Sam Walsh, and Bailey Smith, a Hawks supporter. Yeah, it's an interesting question, though, because you couldn't be pinning too many hopes on Connor Ballenden right now. He's in his first year at the club. Last year, he had a really ordinary top age year at draft level. He didn't get anywhere near the ball, basically, most times he stepped out on the field. So Eric Hipwood, obviously, is a huge talent, and McStay can go both ends. But I don't think they're, because Shackey left, I don't think you could say they're absolutely flushed with young key position players. In saying that, I understand the mid debate. you know, Cameron Rayner probably can play as their third tall forward because of the way he plays. He's almost the mini full forward at times.
Yeah, and we're seeing a trend of bigger bodied midfielders anyway pushing forward and playing that.
So I think it's just right at the top of the order, it should be about who you rate as the best player.
Yep.
More than position wise, I think. Although that does obviously shape a club's list and what they need and what they already have. But I think it should just be about how much you rate the player and how much
right
you like him.
Right now, as it stands, who do you rate higher? Sam Walsh?
Well,
or the coaches?
We've got our Phantom Form Guide coming out next week, so I don't want to give that away.
Right,
and I'm not sure yet. In my head, I actually
jump
around a fair bit on which one that is, because Walsh has just got it done every single time he stepped out on the field this year. Lukosius, most of his ball comes at him when he's on the lead, and he's a beautiful kick and beautiful user of the ball. Obviously, at AFL level, is he going to have that same amount of space? Yep. There's so much congestion up the ground, and whatever the head honchos at AFL want to do about the congestion rules and everything, it's still going to be congested, and there's still going to be ways for clubs and coaches to find ways to get in front of 100%. Key forwards. So you're not going to have that easy access up and down the ground. And he's not a big key position marker, like key contester marker, sorry. So he doesn't have that string to his bow as much as some other players. So that'll be a challenge for him to play in the same style that he does now when he steps up to the next level.
I feel like you're leaning towards Walsh, but we will stay tuned for AFL.com.au for your Phantom Draft. Your Phantom Form Guide. Josh wants to know, why do you say this is not a super draft? Do you not consider the top 10 more talented than the top 10 of previous years? Or do you not think that the talent after the top 10 is anything more special than normal?
Well, it depends on what you define a super draft as. Mm. Is a super draft the top end talent? Or is a super draft the depth?
I would say super draft is the depth. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I think the special, like we'll talk about 2001 draft, that's got depth all the way through, doesn't it? Like Swanee and these type of guys later in the piece who've come through and with later selections.
Stars,
yeah. So, yeah, I'm more with you. They have to have the top end freaks at the top.
Yeah,
and then
which you always tend
has to be,
anyway.
There has to be more. I think I was speaking to a club earlier in the year about what they thought a super draft was, and they said you have to know that you're going to get two really good players each club.
Yep.
So that means you're getting, there should be at least 35, 40,
yep,
you know, really good AFL players that you have great confidence in. That's how strong your list is. And you go to the draft on draft night, you've got 40 players there that you're really, really, really happy with, and there may be 15 after that that you're not as happy with, but still, you know, comfortable enough to choose. So I don't think it's this way this year or that way this year. So that's why I don't think it's a super draft, although it's certainly a super draft of talls,
which is true.
Which is a point of difference to this year's crop. So that's what makes it interesting. But I don't think a group where you look at it and you think there's two midfielders probably shaping as top 6 to 8 picks in Smith and Walsh, and then you sort of go searching for the next crop.
Let's be honest, the media just loves the term super draft.
That's
so they're going to like wheel it out willy-nilly.
That's true, even though
it makes a headline.
Exactly right.
Simon would like to know, right now, what range does Tom Berry sit in the draft?
Yeah, small sort of backman, obviously playing for the Greater Western Victoria Rebels, the younger brother of Jared. I think he's later at the moment. He's obviously had some injury issues across the year, and those boys can find an injury, unfortunately, the Berry boys. But look, he certainly has a crack and great character, and I think some club will have a really good look at him. But he hasn't shown enough to suggest that he'd be an early selection at this point. What's your favourite berry, by the way?
Strawberry.
Strawberry.
It's actually the only berry that I like.
Only one?
Mm-hmm. What about yours?
Blueberry.
Blueberry?
Yeah.
Yuck.
Why?
I don't really like berries. It took me a long time to actually come to the party on a strawberry.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a
strawberry cream? What about the little lollies?
Oh, yeah. Well, lollies are different. This next question is from Sam. Is this draft class deep enough / good enough for Carlton to trade its pick one to Adelaide for their two first round picks, giving more leverage for Carlton in the trade period, and Adelaide get their man in Lukosius, of course that's where they decide.
If that's the player that they want. So at the moment, the Crows' two first round picks are pick 8, which is their own, and then pick 13, which is Melbourne's on trade one for last year's Lever trade. I think Carlton would want more than pick 8 and 13 for pick 1.
You'd want two top 10 picks, wouldn't you?
Probably, yeah. And then you might give something back. You might give an early second rounder back or something like that. So I think that's maybe not enough for the Blues, but the Crows might be keen on that, particularly if the Crows have another first-round compensation pick coming in for Rory Sloane.
Yes.
So, and that compensation pick would come in after their first selection, which would mean they'd have 8 and 9. And then they could go 8 and 9 for one. They still keep 13. They get Lukosius at 13. They get Rosie. They get 2 South Australians. They're not leaving. But anyway, maybe we'll ask our guests next week.
We shall indeed. And stay tuned, Adelaide fans, because next week we will have the Crows recruiting department.
Yes, Hamish Ogilvie, the recruiting manager, will be on the show alongside list manager Justin Reid. So that should be fun to have the guys in.
Tim wants to know if the GWS were to lose Lynch.
Yep. Oh, sorry, Gold Coast.
I think he means Gold Coast. If Gold Coast were to lose Lynch, should they select both King boys with their pick and the compo pick, could play at both ends and reduce the chance of homesickness having both of them there? Smart.
Yeah, as we said about the compensation pick, their compensation pick for Lynch would definitely be a first rounder, so that comes after their first pick at the moment, which is 4, so they'd get 4 and 5 to just go bang, bang. The King boys are 4 and 5. There's a good chance both of them are there. Be pretty close to the mark. Yeah, it's a good idea. I don't mind it.
Yeah, I mean, I like it.
The only problem is everyone says about the Gold Coast that they need midfielders, and they do. But you obviously need talent as well.
Well, if you're losing Tom Lynch.
Yeah, and there's injury issues with Sam Day. Peter Wright's
a bit iffy at times.
He is. No, well, so far on the evidence of this year that there's some concerns about Peter Wright and whether he's going to get there. So, I don't mind that idea. And couple them up together. There's obviously some Sandringham
and
boys at the moment.
Lynch to Hawthorne, great fit.
This
next question is from the Oz Sporting Mind. Hey, Cal and Nat. Hello.
Hey.
What is the highest you could ever see a mature ager such as Tim Kelly being picked? Will teams always go with potential prospects over a finished product in the first round?
Well, it's case by case, isn't it? Yeah. And what you need. And Geelong were certainly a good fit for Tim Kelly. I don't think every club would have picked Tim Kelly because they're not all in that sort of premiership window, but he's been able to come in and make an immediate impression. It sounds stupid, doesn't it, that not every club would have been able to pick him where they did because he's just been able to produce so much so early.
Incredible.
He was picked 24 last year. The interesting thing would be about whether he stays at the club.
Well, yes.
And whether the noise about him going back to Perth is even as soon as the end of this year.
The pull home.
The pull home factor. Obviously, he's had some kids once he's been in Victoria and at the club, so a fan from WA. So maybe one of the WA clubs gets him back. But he's had a very good season. I don't think there's a hard and fast rule on that one. I think it'll always depend on the player, how old he exactly is. I don't think you'd be picking a player over 24 very often in the first round, though.
That is true. Jeff wants to know your thoughts on James Blanc.
Yeah, he played really well on the weekend in the Metro Country game. 195-centimetre defender, 80 kg. He had 11 touches and 6 marks. So he looked pretty good. We'll see how he goes later in the carnival.
Next question is from Paul. Where do you see Ned McHenry going in the draft? Looks like a player Ross the Boss would love at Frio. Ross the Boss.
Ross the Boss.
I love it.
He likes his little nigglers. Ned... I think Ned's somewhere in the category of 25 to 50. Mm. I think a club in there will take him and give him a shot in there. He's as I said before, he's got the running endurance ability. He's certainly goes across the whole game. He's not overly quick, but if he can show that he can play as a small forward as well as being able to provide some run on the outside and just go all day and tackle and harass and get in the face, then I think someone will like him. Whether it's Ross the Boss or not, we'll wait and see. They don't have many picks in that part of the draft at the moment, though, the Dockers.
Cooper writes, hi, Cal and Nat.
G'day, Cooper.
With Richmond's draft last year dominating with talls, do you think they'll go the best midfielder at their pick? Could Jai Caldwell or Jack Bytel be there at their pick?
Well, I think Caldwell's ahead of Bytel. Bytel hurt himself on the weekend with an elbow injury, so hopefully the results on that aren't too serious. But Caldwell is missing another month or so with a hamstring injury. I heard him say on the weekend, so that's not an ideal thing for him. Either he can find an injury and has found a few injuries over the past couple of years. But he's an inside bull, and that's what we like about him. He can find the footy. He's pretty tough, and having watched him a few times this year, if anyone gets in his way, he just goes through them. So at the Tigers pick at the moment, their first is number 18. We expect them to finish probably in the grand final. I think everyone probably expects them to make the grand final. Whether they win or not, that's another call, but that's pick 16, 17, 18 in that range. Yeah, Caldwell could be available there. Another guy who is different type, but certainly in that sort of range as well. Zach Butters is a good little player. As I say, he's little, but his season will finish in a couple of weeks once he gets shoulder surgery. But yeah, he's had a really good carnival for Vic Metro and season for the Jets, and I like his run and just go throughout the contest. So he's one that could break into the top 20.
Our last Twitter question today comes from Steve. Does Will Kelly have scope to play at both ends, and how does he compare to Darcy Moore?
Yeah, he does. He can use the footy pretty well. He's athletic. He's tough when the ball's in the air. I like him better as a key defender, definitely. I don't think it's easier to play as a key defender. It's hard to be a key forward, I think. So I think he sort of fits in best as a key defender. It's where Vic Metro's used him mostly. At Oakley, he's been a forward. Also at Scotch, he's moved around a little bit. Compared to Darcy Moore, look, he's not as talented as Darcy Moore, but Darcy Moore has still got a lot to prove as well. He's only averaging 9 or 10 touches a game in his AFL career, and this year's been a write-off so far in terms of injuries. So how he compares to Darcy, I'm not sure. But I think, unlike Darcy, I'm pretty sure most people would say that Kelly has a defined position, and that's as a defender, and that's where he plays his best footy. Hey, we got one more question, though.
Yes.
Because on Tuesday, met our work experience student.
We've got about 10 work experience kids in here at AFL House this week. It's been
this one's busy. Our favourite, though, because he's friends with Gil.
Can you put in a good word for us?
Come up to the microphone, Tom, because you asked
Tom.
You asked us a question yesterday, and I said, mate, just hold it for the podcast, and you can ask it on air. It had something to do with Bailey Smith and the Bombers. So welcome to the show for a start.
Hello, Tom.
Thank you. Thanks, Cal. So I just was watching the Vic Metro Country game.
Yep.
And Bailey Smith, being a Xavier boy, seen a bit of him at one's level.
Yep.
And love the look of him. Bombers need a inside midfielder, a bit of a bull.
Yep.
Do you reckon he can fill that spot?
Well, you're an Essendon supporter, obviously.
I am.
Not another one. Gosh, I'm surrounded.
They might actually be going too well to get him now. The Bombers have won a few too many games. The way they were going earlier in the year.
You better start tanking then.
There's no point finishing 9th or 10th, is there? I mean, but look, he'd be a great fit. I think he'd be a perfect fit for him. And he can come in and play straight away. He's been consistent. He's tough as nails. He has that speed and endurance mix. He used the ball really well. We saw a running goal on the weekend from outside 50 that he just slammed home. So dedicated as anything. Him and Jack Higgins, it's no joke or no sort of coincidence that they're friends and they're training buddies, because they work as hard as each other. So it's been good to see him dominate this year. But answering your question, Tom, I think he'd be a perfect fit for the Bombers if he's still available at their selection.
How have you found work experience here?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Learning from the pros, you two.
What have you thought of the podcast?
Yeah, very, very high quality.
Big fan?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Avid listener?
Yeah.
We have one listener, Cal.
We have at least one. Do all the Melbourne Grammar crew listen to the podcast?
Yeah, quite a few of the Year 10 boys like to get around the podcast.
Yeah, very nice. Well, it's good to have you, mate.
Thanks, thank you, Tom. Cal, before we finish up, a song of the week.
Song of the week. It's Hollywood by Gorillaz and Snoop Dogg.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
That's good. You a Snoop Dogg fan?
Not really.
You a Snoop Dogg fan, Tom?
A little bit.
Yeah. What's your favourite Snoop Dogg song?
Whatever.
No, I actually couldn't think of one as well. What?
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop.
Yeah, that song.
Drop It Like It's Hot.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really listen to Snoop Dogg.
Gin and Juice? You're a Gin and Juice fan? Yeah. Oh, Sweat? Sweat's a good one as well. Gonna make you sweat.
What's my name?
What's my name? I don't know that one. Do you want to sing it a little bit louder, Joe? No.
All right. Well, you've made the work experience kid Paz out.
So I have. I have making Paz out.
Yes.
Hey, let's explain that, because before the show, Tom said something about someone Pazzing out and just like kept talking.
And Cal and I had these blank looks on our faces going,
what is Paz out?
What's Pazzing out? Is this a new system in a hospital or something?
It's do you want to explain it?
Oh, well, not much explaining. It sort of just means worried, I guess.
Okay.
So now Cal and I are trying to be cool and just...
I don't have to try it. No.
Okay, maybe I need to try a little bit harder, so I'll be dropping in.
Also, before we go, one last time to embarrass Tom while he's listening, and all his mates will be listening to this. But yesterday you had to guess the ages. You wanted to know how old we both were.
Jeez.
We're just making him sweat, really.
Yeah.
And how old did you think
Cal
was?
Nat was 43.
Oh, no, he didn't. Why would you say that? He actually said 25, to which I was stunned.
Oh, he thought I was 21.
He thought you were 21, which I thought was a bit rich.
Because I dressed like a...
Yeah, you do.
21-year-old.
15-year-old.
Like
cool guy. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Tom. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Thank you to everyone who tweeted in. And, of course, thank you to Curtis Taylor for joining us on Road to the Draft.
Morning next week.
Morning.
Nah. Hey, no, as I said, the Crows boys next week. They'll be here. And Jack won't be. Have a great holiday, Jack. Good on you, mate.
No, I'm not going to say that. All right. Thanks, everyone. See you soon.